We're going to jump into our next part of Uncommon Joy. We're going to be looking today to Philippians chapter 3. We've been journeying through this letter that Paul writes to a church that he planted in Europe on his second missionary journey. And this little community, this city known as Philippi, was a Roman colony in the midst of Greek culture. And yet there was some challenges both outside and inside of the church. And he's writing to express gratitude and thanks. That's one of the reasons why we're focusing in on the idea of joy. Because throughout these four chapters, this idea, this message of gratitude, of joy, continues to show up time and again. That's because these believers in Philippi had sent money and help to Paul as he writes this letter from jail. So today, I want us to look together to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. And Paul, he writes these words. He says, whatever happens, think about that. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever happens. In other words, here's what Paul is getting at right here. Joy is what we do, not just what we feel. Some of us, we're waiting for our feelings to catch up in order for us to want to express joy. Can I tell you, for the follower of Jesus, it works the other way. It's something that we do in light of what Christ has already done. He says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things. And I do it to safeguard your faith. I do it to safeguard your faith. In other words, he's trying to help these followers of Jesus understand that there is some safeguards to put in place. And one of those safeguards is this idea of walking in a place of rejoicing, not in your circumstances, not because everything's going like you want it to go, but simply looking at the beauty and the sufficiency of Jesus and say, that's worth rejoicing in. That's worth it. I can rejoice in that. One of the things that brought me joy when I was a little kid was being able to spend time with my Grandma Irwin. My Grandma Irwin, she lived right here in Tacoma. That's my mom's mom. And I remember so many different times having the opportunity to go over to her house. Almost every time I went over to hang out with her, we played Uno. And I mean, she was like the Uno pro. And time after time, game after game, I mean, we would spend hours playing Uno. And one of the things that I noticed about my grandma from a young age, she didn't know how to shuffle cards traditionally. She shuffled them sideways like this. Now I began to understand why she always won. She was just stacking the deck in her favor, you know? But I have a lot of memories that bring joy to my heart going over, and she would make me lunch every now and then. She introduced me to something that I had never heard of called turkey dogs. Hot dogs made out of turkey. Yeah, I don't know about that. But, you know, just different fun moments. One of the things that often brings me joy when I think about it is riding with her in her red late 1970s Oldsmobile Omega. Yeah, driving through the streets of Tacoma. And here's the deal, you know, back then, we didn't have these car seat laws, these booster seat laws. We didn't have to sit in the back seat. I was up front with Grandma, right? It's amazing. I'm still here. I survived. My kids have to have facial hair before they can sit up front. But, you know, somehow I made it. I was one of the lucky ones. But I loved every now and then riding with her in her red Oldsmobile. And every now and then she would take me to a special place like McDonald's, and we would get something nice to share together. Those are joyful memories, fun memories. And yet there was something significant in my grandma's car that I remember. It was her rearview mirror. You see, when we think about a rearview mirror, many of us, we get a picture in our mind like this. How many of you have a rearview mirror in your car, right? And we use it often. We learn how to use it in driver's ed. And yet, here's what I've learned, and especially at a young age, when I saw what my grandma had, it didn't look like this. My grandma had a rearview mirror like this. And I remember as a young man sitting in that car and saying, when I get old and I get my license and I have my own car, I want a rear view mirror like that. Look at how cool that, I mean, look at this thing. 5-paneled rear view mirror. Listen, you don't just see what's behind you, you see the entire Pacific Northwest. And as I got older, even though I didn't get one of these in my car, you know what I realized as I've gotten older is that I have one of these in my life. Because many of us today, we are living with this focus of what's behind us instead of what is now available to us in front of us because of Jesus. And many of us, listen, we think, well, you know, Tyler, I don't spend that much time in the past. It's just a little bit of a rear view mirror. But others of, listen, others of us, it's like side to side in the vehicle of our lives going, yep, I see it all really well. You see, my Grandma Irwin's car, this rear view mirror was the size of her windshield. I wonder how many of us today, what's in our past is as big as what is in front of us. You see, this is the beauty about what Paul is going to teach the Philippian believers and we're going to learn from today, is that what's behind us, even though we never lose sight of it, it can't be the driving factor in our lives. There's something greater that God calls us to. Can I remind you that God has something more for you than what's in the past? God has something more for you than what you're experiencing today. We can't, as followers of Jesus, just live here, even if it's a 5-paneled Grandma Irwin style mirror. It's time to put the past behind us and move forward. I want us to think about how hard it is to effectively move forward if we're always looking behind us. It's hard for us. Some of us, our relationships have suffered because we're always looking in the rearview mirror. Some of us, our careers have never been able to get to the place we desire them to go. Why? Because we're always looking in the rearview mirror. Some of us, we've never been able to actually walk in this idea of joy. Why? Because of some event, some statement, some obstacle that happened way back here, and we continue to pull what was back there into today. And yet Paul, as he teaches the church, he reminds them to not remain in the past. See, he opened up that letter there in verse 1, chapter 3, and he says to these believers, whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. This is a safeguard. And then he begins to talk over the next number of verses about some of the dangerous teaching that has started to take place in Philippi. You see, Paul's focus and Paul's goal as a young man was to be declared righteous. Can you say righteous? His desire was to be declared right before God. So what did Paul do? Well, Paul did what he thought was his assignment, which was to lean into religion and somehow attain a righteousness of his own efforts. And now there's these other teachers coming and telling these new Jesus followers, in order to be righteous in God's sight, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. And Paul says, listen, I was guilty of the same thing. Let's look together in verse 7. Chapter 3, he continues on. In verse 7, he says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless. Can you say worthless? I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Paul, a moment ago, he's talked about all of his lists, all of the pedigrees of why he did what he did, all the things that made him stand out, and the things in his rearview mirror that he once clung to say, I am the man, I am the person that I'm supposed to be. And now when he looks at it, he says, it was all worthless. Worthless. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. as waste. In fact, if you look in the King James, it's a lot different word that's used there. He's saying, it is trash. It's not worth it to me. He goes on, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through what? Faith. Through faith in Christ. That's Paul's point. I used to lean into religion. I used to try to clean up my own activity so that I could somehow look at God and say, I've done enough. You have to declare me right. Paul says, no, the goal of this now is not my own efforts. The goal is to live by faith and find a righteousness that's available in Jesus. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Let me read that one more time because somebody needs to understand that today. God's way of making us right with himself, it doesn't depend on your activity. It doesn't depend on your action. It depends on your trust in the work that Jesus has done for you. Then he says this in verse 10, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. Now, I'm guessing if you have your own Bible today, that part is probably not underlined. Oh, amen. I want to suffer with him. We usually don't highlight verses like that, do we? But Paul understands the difference of knowing Christ surpasses anything else, even if he has to suffer with Jesus. When compared to knowing Jesus, it's worth it. It's worth it. He says, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. Can anybody else identify with that? I have not yet arrived. I'm still in process. I'm still moving forward. He says, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Now listen to this. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Do you notice how Paul addresses his past, his present, but that's not where he stops. He begins to turn and look toward what is in the future. He says, I'm not going to just remain there. I'm not going to cling to the past. I'm not going to stop there. And here's what we need to understand about uncommon joy. Uncommon joy looks beyond today. Uncommon joy looks beyond today. Because the tension in our lives is that it's so easy to want to set up our own little kingdom right here in this moment. But Paul says, I don't cling to what's in the past. I don't even cling to what's going on right now. I fix my eyes. This one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I strain. I push towards what is ahead. See, Paul is coming to this place where he understands righteousness is not going to be through his activity. Righteousness is not going to be through his religious efforts. Righteousness is by faith as he trusts in who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing in him. And yet the question that I have to ask each and every one of us to consider today is this. Are we stuck? Are we stuck? Because for Paul, it would have been really easy to get stuck looking in the rearview mirror, looking at all the things that he did right, looking at how much more advanced he was in understanding the Old Covenant scriptures, understanding how his works of righteousness were more than enough. And for Paul, he could have said, I want to cling to these things, but instead, what does he say? No, he says, I choose to look beyond that. I set it aside. You see, when we look at this idea of being stuck, it's not just the failures of our past that keep us stuck. For Paul, it wasn't his failures. What was it? It was his successes. Some of us in the room today, I wonder if we find ourselves in the place where we are stuck, not because of something bad, but because of something good. We're always looking in the rearview mirror, always going back to, well, that one moment God really showed up. That one moment Jesus really felt real to me. That one season I really dove into Scripture, and we look in the rearview mirror, but the problem is the more that we look in the rearview mirror, friends, the more we stay in the cycle of being stuck. Here's a few ways to understand if you're in a place, if you're caught in a stuck syndrome. You might be caught in a stuck syndrome if the trophies of the past are bigger than your hopes for the future. When we're always looking back going, man, back then it was good. Anybody ever seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite? Remember Uncle Rico? Back in 82, man. Back in 82. And some of us were Uncle Rico. We're going, man, back in the 70s, that's when God really knew how to move. Back in that day, back in that season, and we always long, we got to be careful that the trophies of the past don't become bigger than our hopes for the future. You might be stuck in this syndrome of being caught in that place if your failures, your flaws, the mistakes that you've made, that they become not only your outlook, but your identity. Because for some of us, it's not a rearview mirror this size. Some of us, we are walking through life. And a failure is not just something we did. When we look in the rearview mirror, a failure is what we are. And so we measure ourselves. We measure our self-worth. We actually view, instead of what Scripture says about us, we view ourselves in light of what we see in the rearview mirror instead of what God has already declared. And so we're busy, even though Jesus is calling us forward, we're busy trying to drive down the road of the life, looking in the wrong direction. Today, I believe God wants to help some of us get unstuck. You might be caught in this stuck syndrome if you find yourself saying, I long for how it used to be. You ever said, I won't ask for a show of hands. Remember the good old days? Remember when God really used to move? Remember this, remember that? It's easy if we're not careful, again, to always be looking back. I mean, could you imagine if I tried to preach to all of you like this for the next number of minutes? Hopefully I wouldn't blind you. I mean, this thing is shedding some light. We get stuck, don't we? We get stuck. We might be stuck if we're constantly replaying the game film. For those of you who played sports, maybe you remember the times where you got together and you replayed the game film and you saw the mistakes. Here's the problem for many of us, though, when it comes to the rearview mirror. We replay the game film over and over and over, but we never make the adjustments in life. So what do? We wake up every morning and we replay the last year. Man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. Man, I guess that's just who I am. Some of us were replaying the game film, not just from 10 years ago, but from decades ago. We wake up every morning and we replay that film, but we never put the change into action. When I was in college, I read a book by John Maxwell called Failing Forward. And he talked about this idea that if you're breathing, you're going to fail. Remember saying, thanks, John, that's helpful. But his point is, as humans, we're going to trip up. We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. And his point was this. When you fall, when you fail, you might as well, while you're on the ground, look around and learn something and then get up and keep going. In other words, own it. Admit it. Embrace it, but get up. Don't stay on the ground. Keep moving forward, even in the midst of it. Why is that so important? Because we need to understand God has more for our lives than what's in the rearview mirror. Paul understood this point. He said, what was behind me, I'm not going to cling to that. Instead, I'm going to strain. I'm going to press. I'm going to move forward. See, some of us today, we're having a hard time finding joy. Why? Because we're stuck. We're stuck in the past. Some of that past is success, but some of that past is failure. And my prayer is that we would get unstuck. Here's four things that Paul points us to help us get unstuck. The first is that we would learn to value the right stuff. Can you say the right stuff? Value the right stuff. We all have a value system, do we not? And for Paul, Something happened to his value system when he met Jesus. Something shifted in that value system. In fact, let's look together in verse 7 again. He says, I once thought all these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm learning to value the right things. What we value directs the course of our lives. He's saying, I'm learning to value the right things. All those other things, they were worthless when I compare them to what Christ has done. Verse 8, yes, everything else is worthless when compared, listen to these words, with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I can gain Christ. What's going on in Paul? Paul has embraced a new value system. Those things behind us, listen, some of us, we look back and it doesn't mean that those things weren't important. It doesn't mean that those things in the rearview mirror weren't significant, that they didn't play a significant role. The point is you just can't live there forever. Yet many of us, we continue to drive down the road of life and the rearview mirror is bigger than the windshield. For many of us, we've borrowed Grandma Irwin's rearview mirror. And we continue to long for what was instead of embracing a new value system. Notice what Paul says helped drive this value system. He said, when I compare it to Christ. You see, for him, he lines up kind of this idea of a ledger. And he says, what once was kind of in the benefit column, it's now in the expense column. What once was an asset, I now see was actually a liability. Why is that? It's not because what was in the neighbor's driveway was compared to him. No, he said, when I compare it to Christ. See, some of us, our values need to be adjusted through looking to Jesus, not looking to what's going on around us. How do we get unstuck? Value the right things. But Paul continues on. His next thought is not only valuing the right things, but making the decision to not settle. Can you say, don't settle? Don't settle. Don't settle. Paul continues in verse 10. He says this, I want to know Christ. Those two words are so significant. He doesn't say, I want to know more information about Christ. I want to know some more Bible stories. I want to know some principles that I can just kind of add a little bit of flavoring to my life to help me be more successful. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I want to actually know Jesus. I want to know the risen Savior. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Can I encourage you to not settle? Let's not be a church that settles for information when we can experience transformation. Let's not settle for just having a little bit of Jesus. Let's make our heart's desire. Why? Because it helps us to get unstuck. We don't want to settle for where we've been or what we've known. We want to know Christ. See, Paul, he understands that salvation isn't just knowing about Jesus, things about Jesus, it's actually knowing him. Salvation is knowing him. I want to ask, do you know Jesus? Has he become real? Because there's a statement that Paul makes as he continues that thought right there in verse 10. He says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. It is your understanding of Jesus, is it powerful? Or is it just thought-provoking? Is it appeasing? Is it entertainment? Or has it become so real that there is a power that is leading you to this transformed life, a life filled with joy, a life filled with hope? Paul says, I want to know Christ that way. In order to know Jesus in that way, we cannot settle just for information about Jesus. We need to press in. We need to seek to know him. Know him. The goal, friends, is not to settle for the status quo. Not to settle just for business as usual. Here's the next thing that Paul wants to remind us, and it's this idea of pressing on. This idea of pressing on. Can you say press on? Look at what it says in verse 13. He says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing." We get ourselves into so much trouble because we try to focus on everything at once. Paul says there's this singular focus. There's this intentionality in the way that I live my life. He says, "I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us." Paul is using one of his favorite metaphors right here. It's this metaphor of a runner, an athlete, and it's this picture of having to let go of what's behind and actually strain, reach, press towards what's ahead. There's two parts for Paul of this idea of pressing on. It includes forgetting, but also straining. Can I tell you, if there's a little bit of strain in your life, especially if it's straining forward, you want to know what that tells you? It tells you that you are progressing. You're progressing. As I was studying this week, I had to ask myself the question, in my spiritual life, do I look like a fit runner who's actually running the race and ready to reach for that finish line? Or do I look a little bit more like a spiritual couch potato? Just ready to change the channel at any moment. Because for Paul, he's saying, no. Here's what we got to do. We got to forget what's behind and begin to strain like an athlete running with intentionality towards that finish line, focused on what's ahead. See, it's easy and it becomes dangerous for us when we just have this rear view mirror perspective of, well, yep, I know Jesus saved me way back there and it's all good. I'm just hanging on till heaven. It's not the tone that we hear. And that's not the source of joy. How we get unstuck is we have to make the decision to press. And we're not pressing forward to try to earn something from Jesus. We're not straining, we're not striving to somehow get salvation. No, we are pressing forward because of the salvation we've already experienced. We know that what he has in front of us is greater than what he has behind us. And so we continue to press on. Here's the fourth thing that he reminds us to help us get unstuck. We have to make the choice to embrace hope. Can you say embrace hope? Embrace hope. The last couple of verses of chapter 3, verse 20, he says this. He says, "But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior." Friends, that is hope. Here's the hope that you and I have, that Jesus is coming again. And the things that we look at in our lives right now, the things that we find in our world, and we go, man, it doesn't feel like it should be this way. Those moments where our bodies, they betray us, our emotions are going crazy, the chaos in our world, and we look at it and we go, it should not be this way. Can I remind you? Jesus is coming again and he will set all things right. And in that mind, in that perspective, that's where we lean forward into this hope. Because if not, what do? We live with this rearview mirror perspective. We stay stuck with where we're at. And yet this year, God laid a word on our heart for our church. And it's this word, beyond. Can you say beyond? Ephesians 3:20. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond." Can I tell you, for us to experience that, we're going to have to not necessarily make the rearview mirror disappear. For some of us, we just need to recognize that's not going to be the focus anymore. Some of us, it's become the windshield that we try to drive with. It's time for us to set aside what's behind and strain towards what he has in front of us. Why? Because it's going to be impossible for you and I to walk with an uncommon joy if we're always measuring the past with where he wants to lead us. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond." No matter what you've experienced in your past, no matter what you're journeying through today, God has more. God has more for you. He has more for your family. He has more for your marriage. He has more for your children. He has more for this church. He has more for our city. But it's hard for us to embrace the more if we're always focused on what was. So today, can I invite you to bow your heads with me for a moment? I want us to pray for a couple of specific things, and the worship team's gonna come. We're gonna sing just one more part of a song. But today, there's some in this room, or maybe you're watching online, and you would recognize, God, today I desire a fresh start with you. I want a fresh start with you. I wanna know that my sin is forgiven. I wanna put my trust in Jesus. I wanna know that I'm a new creation. Come on, if that's you today and you'd say, God, would you make me new today? Would you give me a fresh start? If that's you, would you just simply raise a hand, just hold it up for a moment and say, yeah, that's me, that's me, that's me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, 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 yeah. You can put those hands down. Second, I want to pray for those of us, maybe we're already followers of Jesus, but the truth is we've been living life focused in the rearview mirror. And today we want to set the past behind us. We want to begin to lean into the future that Jesus has for us. If that's you and you'd say, the rearview mirror has been too big in my life, and today, by God's grace, I want to set that aside, and I want to begin to move towards the future that he's calling me to. I want to walk in that uncommon joy. If that's you, would you simply raise a hand, just hold it up and say, yeah, that's me. That's me. Time to set the rearview mirror aside. Time to set that rearview mirror aside. Yeah, yeah. Come on. I want to remind all of us, and I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet this morning. I'm going to welcome some of our pastors and prayer team. And listen, today, if you raised a hand, if you prayed that prayer today saying, I want to put my trust in Jesus, I want to know that I have a fresh start, we're going to believe God for more. We're going to believe God for greater things. And I want to invite those of you who raised a hand, no matter what that need is, I want to invite you out of your seat. Come find one of our prayer team members. I'm going to be right down here. I would love to pray for anybody who wants prayer, because we are believing that God is going to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can even ask or think. Amen? Come on, we're going to sing these words. I know a breakthrough is coming. Let's declare this together today.